Great to have you on the line, Charlie. When I was telling different people throughout the weekend that you were coming on with me, so they were delighted to hear it. How's life treating you these days in Tipperary? And are you still involved in sporting teams?
I am indeed, but not so bad. Life good down here, Ciarán, but I'm home quite a bit now. My mother is still alive. She's turned 90 there last year, so I've been up and down a bit. I was actually, I'm only back. I was up there this week and last week on a number of occasions. Sad occasion last week, passing of Eamon Sweeney down in Fannet. So I was down for that funeral. And I was at a couple of games up there during the week. I mean, the Gaelic was on last weekend. A lot of activity in Donegal over the last while. As you know, sure, it's that such a sports-mad county that once you get a paper there, half the paper is unlike any other county in Ireland. They say there's more coverage of sport in Donegal than anywhere else. So great to be there when you get the opportunity.
Yeah, we're very fortunate, Charlie. You mentioned the Gaelic. How are you enjoying your time with TG Cahir at the moment? No, you've been, I remember a club game last year, I think it was McCool's and Glen Swilly. I was sitting in here in the studio and it was on in the background and you were up there, I think it was with Micheál O'Donnell. Are you enjoying the TG Cahir work?
Absolutely, Ciarán. But you look, it's been, I've been there a long, long time now. I think I was there at the beginning of Nemeton doing TG Cahir, and it turned out to soccer at the beginning. They started their coverage, live coverage with soccer in the early days, and then moved it to GAA. So I've been lucky enough to be kept on there over the course of the time. And look, I'm an outfield now, Ciarán, as you know, and it's great to still have that kind of eye on it, which is brilliant to get. You get an opportunity behind the scenes to see how everything goes between, you know, you'd be watching things like warm-ups and you know, certain plays and whatever in every way. And I mean, the modern game, the changes have been brilliant, but great to have the opportunity. And have the opportunity to be in one of the highlights of this year will always be being in Killarney there 2 weeks ago with Radio and the Gaelic, covering the Donegal Kerry match, which was unbelievable, like unbelievable form. So it's a privilege to have that opportunity, Ciarán. You know that yourself through your own involvement. Like if you're a mad sports person and your part of your work is to cover it, it's brilliant.
We're going to chat about the new rules, Charlie. As a former footballer at a high level, how would you like to be playing these new rules?
I think everybody would love to be playing the new rules. We were definitely in the doldrums there for a number of years. Stagnating Gaelic football was, and what it's brought back. Like my take on it, I even had a discussion not that long ago with a friend of mine down here in Clonmel around sport, and it's like to make sport better. You're trying to create space on a field. That's what you're trying to do for top athletes to expose that and work with that. And unfortunately, all the dimensions on pitches have been the same since 100 years ago, and players have got fitter and bigger and stronger, so there's less space. But what that group have done, have created a load of space on the Gaelic field, because now you have to keep three up and three back. So that's six players plus the goalkeeper. So there's only eight players really that can move throughout the field, which creates an awful lot of space, and it's what you do with that space. So I think it's been brilliant. I mean, you're never safe in a football match anymore until the final whistle goes, because you can pull back unbelievable situations. I covered a match down in Wexford not that long ago, the last match of Division 3, and it was Westmeath against Wexford, and Westmeath were clearly won. They were 5 points up and Wexford were done, and a goal and a two-pointer and a free won the game for them in the last 2 minutes. I mean, it changes over in such a space, a short space of time. So it's so exciting, and it's opened up new avenues for players that, for all sorts of players, Ciarán, even the small, quick player or the big, tall. I mean, fetching a ball in the middle field is back in vogue again, and it's quite clearly something Donegal have been spending time looking at with their physicality and their size and their athleticism. So it's brilliant to see. It's absolutely outstanding. It's the best. To me, it's gone past hurling now at this stage as the best sport one can watch in this country.
A completely different product, Charlie. I'm sure we'll both agree on that one. Well, Charlie, I started supporting Finn Harps in the mid to late 1990s. And I'll never forget 98. It was an FAI Cup semi-final against Shelburne. The following year, we won the semi-final against Galway. Did in Terryland Park. Donal O'Brien getting an important goal in that one. Johnny Speak as well, if my mind serves me correct. How does Charlie McGeever look back on his Finn Harps tenure as manager? I know you were a caretaker once or twice before that. But in the late 80s or late 90s, how do you look back on your stint as Finn Harps manager?
Yeah, look, I had a kind of a stop-start relationship with Harps over the years. I suppose I started off playing with Sligo Rovers when Harps were looking for me and I decided to go to Sligo. convinced to go there by Patsy McGowan, who'd been one of my mentors over the years. So rather than go to Harps, that was a good decision. It worked out well for me at the time. Came back to do a bit of work with Harps with Bobby Tolan before Bobby left management, then back to Fannad, spent a number of years in Fannad, then back to Harps again. So I've been over and back to Harps over a number of times at that stage and had taken the caretaking role a number of times. But when Dermot Keighley left, the last time he left, I kind of fell into it. So it was more falling into it, Kieran, because I was still playing a little bit at the time, and you were in transition between playing and manager, and that can be hard. I mean, you know, as even nowadays, it's a very difficult thing to do. And but it worked out well. I mean, I had some great support. Like, I mean, we talk about the modern game, and we talk about soccer now. Like back then, there were so many people involved with Harps for me that were so good. Like the backroom team I had were, when I look at it, like you had Michael McGeehan supporting me as coach. You had Joe Boyle looking after underage. I mean, Joe Boyle, who should still be working with the FAI, superb coach. Mickey, an unbelievable coach. And looking through that group, Declan Boyle coaching now, Declan McIntyre, obviously heavily involved in sport, Tom Mohan, Pascal Vodaquin, Gavin Dykes, all of those people have gone on to contribute greatly to soccer in this country over that period of time. You know, so I was never left alone, I suppose, at that stage in the helm. I had great support. It could have gone another way where you had no support, but all those people and a lot of others were great support. So, that support mechanism has shown itself to be still true today, you know, a quarter of a century later. A lot of those people are still good coaches and great coaches in many cases, you know.
One guy that played for you, you mentioned with great coaches, was Fergal Harkin. What a midfield you had that time, Charlie. You don't know Brian there, experience. You mentioned Tom Mohan. Fergal Harkin was unbelievable. See what he's doing now. He was at Man City. He's now at Bolton Wanderers and they're promoted. Declan Boyle, currently Henry Reedy, he was the captain of the team, and Johnny Speaks scoring goal for fun. So in terms of signing players, they were all serial winners, Charlie. How difficult was it for you to coax them to Balbuffet?
Well, you see, I think it all starts with having a good core of players. Like, and we had a good core of players at the time. I mean, Speaky was there. When you've people like Jonathan Speak at one end and Gavin Dykes at the other end, you know, when Declan Boyle came home, there were lots of things falling into place at the right time. Now, it's a very competitive league at the time. I mean, you had the great Shamrock Rovers teams and different teams that were exceptionally good at that stage. But, we managed a lot. Whatever I did over the period of time, which wasn't an awful lot, when you look back and God rest him, Molly Horgan's time in Harps and what he contributed to Finn Harps over those years, I mean, I know what Ollie had to go through in terms of how hard he had to work to actually keep things afloat and get players into the club. We're in the Northwest, we're well away from everything, and it's obviously going to get harder now. I really can't understand the new setup. I know I'm a long way away from it, but for love or money, I don't understand how the Northwest is going to survive with six teams in the League of Ireland. Like when you go from Sligo across to Derry, you're going to have six teams in three divisions. But anyway, that's another day's work probably. But the point being is that, you know, Donegal is very special, and anybody that ever came to play with Harps in Donegal got a great welcome and were well looked after. And I think that's the key. Like we are special people, and there are special people in the Northwest. And I think that's a big help. Plus the fact that, you know, at the time there was a foundation in the club, and the club was a Premier Division team, and players were happy to come and play with some of those other great players that we mentioned already, you know.
I was reluctant to mention this topic or not to you, Charlie. I remember the FAI Cup final so, so well, the lead up to it. When did Charlie McGeever find out that most of the players were going to dye their hair blonde ahead of the game?
Charlie McGeever found out when they had it done. And what surprised me on the day was the fact that there were some experienced players involved in that, like, which was so surprising. The last thing you look at in that situation is try and draw attention to yourself. You're trying to keep in the shadows and deal with other things. So that became a bit of that definitely was one of the greatest hair raising moments in Finn Harps' time. No question about it. But it wasn't the right decision probably. But I think they realised that after the fact. Unfortunately, it was something that that I wasn't. Now I could do with the same job myself. Now at the minute, all right, I'm as great as anything. But that's what happened. And that said, it wasn't the winning or losing of any of the games. Like, I mean, we it was like a bit like Groundhog Day, wasn't it? You go up to Dublin, you play, you come back again, you go back up again. And we had our opportunities to win it. Obviously, we went to the
second day.
Especially the second day, and I have great memories of that. I have very, very clear memories in my head of how that went and what happened, and it was unfortunate at the time, the concession, the penalty, the save, the rebound, and on we went, you know. But and it's a pity because, you know, it's not something that that's been frequent with Finn Harps, getting to cup finals or winning cups or whatever. I mean, we've always been competitive, but that was an opportunity missed. I would have felt, because realistically the panel was there to win it, no doubt about that.
In terms of Charlie McGeever, the player, I may be wrong on this one. You may have played in the FA Cup final with Sligo Rovers. Patsy McGowan was the manager, and you were in and out of Finn Harps as a player as well. A trial came up with Tottenham Hotspur, would I be correct in saying? And you actually were successful in that trial. And Tottenham had a fantastic team competing at European level that time.
Yeah, look, I was very lucky. I swear I'm the age I am, and I've been very lucky in my sporting life. I've been involved with great teams, with very good people. I've had very few disappointments, I suppose, or letdowns. There'll always be letdowns in sport. You lose matches, but, you know, it's about the people around you and the people you work with, and are you happy to be there? And at that time, like, I was, Patsy brought me to Sligo my first year. We got to the FAI Cup final. We lost to Dundalk in a match that we probably could have won. Unfortunately, when you're a young fella, which I was at that stage, I think it was 19 going on 20, and you think your life's the world's your oyster, like things are going very well for you. You're playing well both codes. I was actually playing the Donegal under 21s at the time as well. And, you know, they were going really well. Both teams had a great year. Lost the Ulster final with Donegal, lost the FAI Cup final with Sligo. And I thought, sure, look, these things will keep happening. But unfortunately, the following year, after going to Spurs for the short period of time, I got a bad injury in a match, and that was the end of that, because the cruciate at the time went, and it went twice since. But that was the end of it. And the annoying thing, probably from my perspective looking back, is that the following year Sligo won the FAI Cup, and I was in the stand looking at it, and Donegal won the All-Ireland Under-21s, and I was in the stand looking at it. So, you know, football can be fickle and sport can be fickle, and I always say to young people, you know, grab it when you can, because you never know when things can change, you know. So, but that said, Ciarán, there were great times. Like, I mean, both teams were very successful at that stage. Lots of good teams. I was in college in Limerick, in Thomond College, which isn't there anymore, but we had an unbelievable team. At that stage, we won everything, I suppose. Freshers, we won colleges, we were winning. Like, that 1981 year was a year where we had a lot of success, but unfortunately, after that, I went missing for a couple of years because of injury. So, you know, you grab it when you can, you know.
I remember around maybe the late 90s or the mid 90s, we were spending different time in Inverclyde at my uncle's house. But I remember yourself and Colin McLaughlin, am I correct in saying, I'm not too sure what year it was, maybe 93 around that time, were you up in the forwards, key forwards? So you had you and him playing at Finn Harps, Colin scoring a rake of goals in the League of Ireland, and then all of a sudden playing for Clonhilly J Club in the Intermediate Championship.
Yeah, well, I'm going to give it a credit for that off Con now, because Con played very little Gaelic football in his time, but he was living in Falkara, obviously, at the time, and he was a super player, Con, or some finisher. And we got him down to training, obviously, just to keep him fit a little bit nearly at one stage, and then it worked out that he started playing. Now, unfortunately, as you'd be aware, very difficult to pick up Gaelic football at Con's age and start soloing the ball up the field. So Con would have difficulty with soloing. So the inside line was myself and himself, so I'd try and get primary ball, and all you had to do was pop it off to Con, who was in the back of the net. Like, Con didn't need a second invitation to score goals. So yeah, we had a very successful short period of time there. I think it was in the early 90s, and worked well for both of us. Like, we were both well used to playing together, I suppose, and Clonleaney had a decent team, won the Gaeltacht on two occasions during that period of time. So it was good days. Like, and again, like I say, you know, you've mentioned Con there again, surrounded by, I've been very fortunate all my life to be surrounded by some unbelievable players. I mean, a period of time before that would have been down in Fannet, where we had that side that would have won numerous intermediate championships, the Intermediate Cup and all that, and you're still talking about, look at the characters you're looking at there, you know, Liam Sweeney, you know, all of those people, John McElwain, who still the best player I ever played football with. You know, I mean, the characters around that, Eamon McConaghy, everybody, Bosco Gallagher in goal, you know, unbelievable players all over the field. Kenny Harkin, you know, scoring goals the other end. Again, I back to what I said, Ciarán, you know, no matter which group we sit here and talk about, there were unbelievable players around, and quality players, players that would, today's game now would have all probably been playing over in England at this stage if they were to take it seriously, you know. But like I said, at the time, football was very different, but it was very enjoyable.
Brilliant stuff, Charlie, brilliant stuff. Remember a number of years ago following Clonmel commercials, journey? Remember you were over at Chaconnell Gales? I think that was the All-Ireland Club quarter final. That must have been an amazing time in your life, Charlie. I know you had a son involved in that, and you were involved at inter-county level with the Tipperary Miners. Tipperary won the, I call it the COVID Senior Monster title. That was a huge time in your life, and Tipperary winning that Monster Football Championship. How lucky were you to be involved in all that high-profile Gaelic success?
Well, there you go again. Like, it's the luck of the draw, isn't it? Like, I moved down here in 2002, having been in Donegal up to then with my wife. Had been 14 years in Donegal, decided time to move back to her home, and we did in 2002. And obviously, soccer wouldn't be as prominent down here. Now, my first thing down here is spent 5 or 6 years with Clonmel Town, very successful years at junior level with the soccer, and then moved into the Gaelic sphere with Clonmel Town. Clonmel commercials, because my children had started to play GA, and again found myself in a situation where there was an unbelievable team really of young lads, that the minor team that won the All-Ireland in 2011, I think, when people like Kieran Kilkenny and those were playing for Dublin, to beat them in the final. There were seven from the club here, seven minors that I had the minor team at the time, and seven of them played on that team, so it's a really strong club at that stage, and we were fortunate enough following that to win a Munster club, which no other Tipperary football team had ever done. It was the first time ever that a Munster club had been football and had been won by a club in Tipperary. And we progressed then on to the All-Ireland semi-final, where we were really unlucky. Ballyboden beat us with the last kick of the game in extra time. But the trip to London was special. Obviously, there were so many Chaconnell Gales connections with Donegal and so many people from Donegal there. That was a special occasion. It was like playing an international match away from home, and we were successful there, played very well, won it well. I mean, that was a great year. 2015, a great year. We had won the county, obviously, in GA. Then we had won the club in Munster, and then we had the minors, the county minor team that I had got to the All-Ireland final, which was, I think, now we could well beat by Kerry, but that again, it was a great achievement for that group of players. So it was an unbelievable year, but I mean, top it all off then was with the senior team who hadn't won a Munster in 70 or 80 years to win that in the COVID year down in Cork on their patch. Was unbelievable. It was surreal, actually, to tell you the truth, but well deserved. We had played really, really well. We had made that team that were the minor team in 2011. That was the backbone of that team that played then, and great success. When I look back on it, you know, we probably should have done better following that. We probably didn't keep going after that, but that was that year will always be remembered as that COVID year as a huge success for us.
Brilliant stuff. Charlie, could talk to you all day, so good, but we're going to end this interview now, Charlie, with two quick firing questions. Hopefully they're not too difficult for you. The proudest moment, either as a player or a management, in your sporting career?
Oh, I'd say I will always, it's quite simple for me in many ways, and that we haven't mentioned it, which is winning the FAI Youth Cup with Fannett. I think was definitely, as a player, to think that the team from Donegal, you know, with and it hasn't been done since and probably won't be done, to go through that competition and win it with the team we had was exceptional. But again, that was down to another great man, Father Michael Sweeney, who was manager of that team, who was such a great mentor and to so many people. But I mean, that was unique. That was brilliant. That was fairy tale stuff to have a team. When you look at that team, all living within, you know, 10 or 15 miles of each other and beating everybody. And at that stage, Shamrock Rovers had decided to keep all their talent at home, not to go to England. John Giles was managing them at that stage. They were beaten in the semi-final and we beat Bowes in the final. So, yeah, that was definitely a highlight. That was outstanding. I'd say that's as good achievement as ever.
Absolutely brilliant, Charlie. We're going to end this interview. Who's going to win the Sam Maguire Cup 2026?
Well, I would have said at the start of this year that that Kerry would repeat that win. But to watch Donegal beat them, you know, four of the last five occasions they've played, beat them down in Killarney twice this year, I think it's fallen into Donegal's, it's Donegal's to lose, simply because the gaps are there. The draw's been kind to them, but the win in Kerry put that in place. Look, when we look back in last year, I'm sure Jim will say himself that, you know, maybe the team selection in the beginning and letting Kerry get away with an early start in the All-Ireland final that we couldn't pull back was a bridge too far. But I think they've rectified all those things. I mean, their last two performances against Kerry have been magnificent. I'd worry about Armagh in the background. I think that they'll be difficult as well. But there's a lot of luck attached to winning in All Ireland. But I think Jim normally, at this stage in his career, I think he's got this team to be at its best. I think Murphy's performance in Cork was unbelievable as a leader and as a playmaker. I think he's in much better shape than he was before. Lanyon's back fit. He's no injury crisis. There's really no excuse, I think, at this stage. Then I'd be confident enough to say that when we go to Croke Park this year, Sam will be back in the hills in Donegal, hopefully.
And we can't forget your own club, man. Big Jason McGee's putting in a good shift. He wasn't around last year due to injury.
Absolutely. He wasn't there last year. Great addition to the team. But all those young lads coming through. And, I mean, to watch Rorty's performance against Paddy Clifford the last day was a sign of where we're going. I mean, this young lad is on the way to be probably pound for pound the best player in the country. I thought Lee Keegan, that over the years, was that player. He was a man that could man-mark somebody, contribute to the score on the other end, and dictate the play, and that's what Rorty's doing at the minute. So there are a lot of players putting up their hand in the Donegal setup, and I look forward to watching them all summer. They're great to watch that at the minute. Lovely to do so.
Charlie McGeever, absolutely fantastic to catch up with you this a Sunday afternoon. I must say, you're very kind of your time. I think you wrote in that message 7 or 8 minutes, but go meal and my head, Charlie.
Meal and my head, Kieran. Flan, flan.